Grace to you, peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We're gathered today to celebrate the life of Ruth Odegaard, but she would like us to look at the real life and learn lessons from a life well lived. We're focused on the 12th verse of Psalm 90. And I'm going to read verses, and we can compare these a little bit. This is from the Evangelical Heritage Version, just published this summer in the Psalms in the New Testament. So it reads a little closer to the original Hebrew. Verse 12, our focus is, teach us to number our days in such a way that we bring a heart of wisdom. We pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength, our Redeemer. Amen. In Jesus' name, dear loved ones, dear Ralph, brother to Ruth, and brother to all of us here who worship the Lord, how do you begin to sum up a life well lived? I'm personally very grateful for all the pictures and mementos that were gathered. Friend Ruth Strubel, and maybe Amber helped with that too, gathered up all the pictures, and our ladies put them on the boards to be displayed. There are more in one of the classrooms there. And I appreciate being able to go back over Ruth's life and see the joy of youth and the blessings that the Lord certainly showered on her all through her life. It's certainly pictured there. But honestly, knowing Ruth Odegaard, she'd be a little bit embarrassed because she never wanted to have focus on her. And yet, ultimately, she's not our focus today. In fact, Ruth, along with many over the years, have actually requested this: no eulogies, please. Don't praise me. Praise God. So in our services, we focus on the Word of God, and we'll have a few moments when we gather for the physical refreshments and the lunch afterwards, maybe to say a few things about Ruth. But here we really focus on the Lord and His love and on His Word with whatever we can gather from Ruth's life that helps us do that. And Ruth, as you know, was forever a teacher. Always a teacher at heart. I only knew her in her later years after she had retired. But it was fun to see this on the table, picture from obviously one of the elementary children that she taught. Maybe Leo Woods is here today, I don't know, but this was yours if you are with us today. And I thought that this was a beautiful, honest look from the child's eyes at the teacher, Ruth Odegaard. Leah Woods wrote, Miss Odegaard has blonde hair and blue eyes. Her height is medium. She has a pleasant smile. She works as a teacher. She has one brother, Ralph Odegaard. She has a mother and father. They live in a house in North Mankato. Her favorite food is pizza and ice cream. She likes to watch the news and bowl. She collects dolls and bears. She enjoys traveling. Miss Odegaard's memorable event was when her baby brother came home from the hospital. Her mom told her to take care of him. She didn't like it at first, but now she likes it a lot. So the older sister didn't really want a brother to take care of until she met Ralph. And Ralph became her pride and joy, and Ruth for Ralph. It is a beautiful lesson, is it not? A lesson of God's love in our lives, a lesson in students, respecting, honoring teachers, teachers who love their students, and family, brothers and sisters, parents and children, loving and honoring each other. It's the Lord's design. And you have to praise Him when you can see in someone's life, and I know that's the case in many lives here, and I pray so more and more, that love and honor that the Lord, in His great creation, as He made them male and female, the crown of his creation, as the Bible puts it in Genesis 1 and 2. That there is that love and that honor there, great lessons from a life well lived. But there's more of life behind that, more that the Lord wants us to see. We have Ruth's physical birth date in our worship folder, May 18th, 1939. But she was reborn according to the Lord's own word in the word-powered water of baptism on the 16th of August in 1939. Her baptismal certificate has that passage, "Go feed my lambs." It's a verse. "Go feed my lambs," the Savior calls, "to tell them of the glory awaiting them in heaven's halls. Repeat the old, old story that Jesus is the sinner's friend, their Lord and Savior to the end." It's one of the joys of my ministry to read words like this. Sometimes I get to know them when they're little and they come to the Lord's word-powered water. But even many years later, after parents and teachers and Sunday school teachers and friends and loved ones and other pastors have ministered, to be there when they go from grace to glory, at last receive the crown of life, super victorious in Jesus our Lord because he is rich in mercy, rich in grace. And even there in holy baptism, where we're born again according to the scripture, Titus 3:5, it is the Holy Spirit's washing of rebirth and renewal, the born again washing of the Lord. That's where Ruth's life really began. And she would want the lessons of her life to include that, her faith and her trust that the Lord was always watching over her. Now, if you look at Psalm 90 here, and you're looking for lessons in life, not all the lessons are pleasant. True? The heartache, the tears. I kind of wonder how a person could even stand to listen to this if you didn't know what was coming. Sometimes people will say, "Pastor was just talking to me." And they don't realize actually Pastor applied those words first to himself and then to everybody in the congregation, not just to you. If it hits home, good. It's meant to be very personal, but don't run away before you hear the good news. Even though this is hard to hear, the first 11 verses are even more strident, you might say, more pointed, more dramatic in the verses as the closer you get to the Hebrew. Let me read from the Evangelical Heritage Version. It's a prayer of Moses. I'll come back to that. The man of God. Most Psalms were by David the king, but this was by Moses, inspired by the Lord to write these words 1,500 years before Christ. "Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations, before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from eternity to eternity, you are God. You grind people to dust and say, 'Return, children of Adam.' For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day, like yesterday that has gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep them away like a flood, like a flood. They are like sheep in the morning, like grass when it changes quickly. In the morning it sprouts and grows. By evening it is cut down and it withers. Surely we are consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have laid out our guilty deeds in front of you, like laying out dirty clothing. Our hidden sins are revealed in the light of your face. For all our days pass away under your fury. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives add up to 70 years or 80 years if we are strong. Yet the best of them are trouble and sorrow, for they disappear quickly and we fly away. Who can understand the power of your anger? But your fury is consistent with the fear that is owed to you." Not pleasant, is it? I think it's kind of like if you go to the doctor and you think it's just a routine checkup and you get the words that no one wants to hear and you'd like to run away, be somewhere else, and never have to hear that again. But the doctor has to tell you, especially in this case, because this is a disease that can be healed and is in fact healed. The healing is in. The medicine is here. Just to listen. Just to grow. Just to be at peace with God. It wasn't at all what friend Ruth Struble and housekeeper Amber Hansen wanted to find on the day that Ruth didn't answer her door. Some of you know that story. You got to praise God. Another lesson in life, good stubborn friends that don't give up even when the police say no. They don't like to break open somebody's door that isn't open, right? They're reluctant for good reason not to break and enter. But you got to thank God for friends that don't give up and police that finally do give in. Finding Ruth on the floor for hours later with a stroke, not pleasant. But then help could come as quickly as possible. We got a letter from one of the nurses in Malawi about the troubles that they have there. A boy that just cut himself had to go to the hospital, not by ambulance. Somebody had to take him. The employer had to take him. And then they get to the hospital and the doctor in charge isn't even there. We get to go by ambulance as quickly as possible, and there will be doctors and nurses with all the supplies and medicine needed. Complain about all the health care you want, but we are so blessed in this country, and Minnesota in particular. And spiritual help is not far behind. The blessings and grace of God come in word and sacrament as quickly as we can get them there. That was Ruth's blessing. Not pleasant, but you know, I think also of the fact that there are people, and some of you know them at the same facility, that have suffered from strokes and multiple strokes over many years. Ruth's time of suffering didn't last all that long. And that Romans 8 passage where neither death nor life will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, we asked our professor in seminary, what does it mean, life? And he pointed out the fact that God will make sure that none of us live too long on this earth, that we would lose our faith or suffer too much, that he comes in mercy, he comes in grace to take us home. He did that for the writer of this psalm, Moses. I don't know if you remember the story, but Moses, 40 years old when he committed murder and had to flee from Egypt. He's got a great life for the next 40 years out in the desert, but then the Lord in the burning bush says, go back to Pharaoh in Egypt and say, let my people go. 80-year-old man. Finally, Moses goes. The next 40 years of his life were even more miserable than ever because he's out there in the wilderness with complaining Israelites until you get all the way to chapter 20 of Numbers, and it begins with his sister Miriam dying. And then the people are complaining again about not having water. Have you ever really had a frustrating experience that seemed to go on forever? I've never had one that lasted 40 years. But I can sure understand why Moses got so angry. I'll spare you the details now, but what happened in his anger was he and Aaron did not glorify the Lord. And so the Lord said to Moses in Numbers 12, to Moses and to Aaron, his brother the high priest, because you did not trust me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. After all of that work, Moses did not even get to enter the promised land. What a great lesson that Moses himself could not stand before the Lord and say, I've done enough. I've been as good and holy as I ought to be. He couldn't even cross the Jordan River. He had to look from Mount Nebo across into the promised land. It was a lesson. God made an example of them for all of us. A lesson for a life well lived because Moses took the lesson in humility and patient repentance. And the Lord's inspired Paul, Apostle Paul, years later in the letter to the Galatians, commented on this and referenced the book of the law, which was the law of Moses. The Lord says through Paul, all who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. You and I would have to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind without fail all the time, 24/7, from conception to the last breath. Who can do it? I go for hours without thinking about God. And love your neighbor as yourself? Who of us have not had those moments when we're thinking more of ourselves than someone else? But the Apostle Paul says, don't run away. Just a couple verses later, he references that again, and he says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. That's the message of this book of books. He doesn't soft pedal the cancer of our sin, the leprosy, but he does give us the cure. It's in Christ. The life that the Lord was talking about when he talked to that sister, Martha, and said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. So he asks all of us, do you believe this? And she answered, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Some lessons are very difficult, and God's lessons can be very painful, but he only cuts in order to heal. He kills in order to make alive. He humbles us in order to lift us up again and give us his full grace and mercy and forgiveness in the one that God loved so much from all eternity, the Son whom God loved so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Ruth, the teacher, was more than anything a child of God for time and for eternity. So teach us to number our days aright that we may bring a heart of wisdom, like athletes would say, bring it, you know, bring it, bring a heart of wisdom. You bring a heart of wisdom to this, and you have to think back to last Sunday's gospel lesson. Our members here might remember that. You might have heard it in other churches too. Last Sunday's gospel lesson, the appointed lesson is from Matthew chapter 15, the faith of the Canaanite woman. She was a non-Jew. And Jesus treats her terribly. God's own son. She needs help because her daughter is demon-possessed. And Jesus says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. She doesn't run away. It says, she came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. Help me in Hebrew is Hosanna. Save now, we pray. Help me, she said. And he replied, this is worse. It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Oh, man. What a way to start a church, huh? Is that how you really win friends and influence neighbors? Jesus, are you kidding me? She needs to see it, but she hears it in faith. Do you remember what she said after that? She doesn't run away and she doesn't disagree. She says, yes, Lord. In other words, call me what you want. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. A child of God, willing to just take the crumbs from God because they're so awesome and wonderful. Even the crumbs, that'll be enough, Lord. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And we stay to bring wisdom, to number our days aright as children of the Heavenly Father. These are the sweet words that end the psalm. Turn, O Lord, how long will it be? Change your mind toward your servants. Satisfy us in the morning so that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. The Lord knows our weeping and our sorrow. He knows that we need his comfort and his care. Satisfy us in the morning with your mercy so that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. Let your deeds be seen by your servants. In other words, open our eyes to your majesty, to may be seen by your majesty by your children. May the kindness of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. yes, establish the work of our hands. He wants us to realize that our sister Ruth is in joy and gladness now. And her time here on earth was so short, like a drop of water in the sea of eternity, so quickly to pass away. Maybe today Jesus will come again as he promised, come to take his own home to heaven. We won't have to live out another day or tomorrow, but always every day. He says, I will be with you always. And in the prayer here, because we trust in him as our Lord, he will satisfy us more than just the days we've been afflicted. That wouldn't be enough. Remember how the hymn writer John Newton put that in Amazing Grace, that hymn? When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. And the Lord wants us to look past this time now and look forward to the reunion with family in heaven, when we will be there for an endless day with no sunset, the day where Ruth is enjoying the Lord's love and patience and kindness forever. Picture Ruth in the arms of Jesus, enjoying the greatest joy and the greatest peace that she could ever have. We would not, as brothers and sisters in Christ and brothers and sisters of Ruth, ever deny her a nap, a time to just rest. Think of her as resting in the arms of Jesus, in his kindness and love, where we too will rest for Jesus' sake. The Holy Bible says that none of us can bring the holiness that God demands, but it says God supplied it in Jesus Christ as our substitute. And he wants you to know that your bank account is full in heaven with Christ's righteousness. Just trust in him. And forgiveness and mercy and peace infinite as God is infinite in his love and his power. Trust in him, and it's all yours. We pray, may the kindness of the Lord our God rest upon us. May God's kindness and his love rest upon us now and forevermore. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, Lord, establish the work of our hands. And all God's people say, Amen. Amen.